the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. How many of y'all noticed me changing the words up to Silent Night this morning? Silent Night, Holy Night, all is bright, all is calm. That's not how it goes, but that's how it went this morning. You never know how my mind's going to think. My motto is, you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you are one, so... Anyway, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 39, and we had a special prayer meeting prior to this service. Monroe had asked the deacons of the church to meet and to pray over him. He has a scan tomorrow to see if there's that cancer's anywhere else in his body and so forth, and then surgery. As of now, would be January the 6th, and we just had a great spirit, great prayer meeting, and that's why we were late getting in here to start. But I would ask you to continue to pray for him in the days to come. Luke chapter 1, verse number 39 says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" Let's pray once again. Our gracious and kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this season. Lord, help us to listen intently tonight as we look at some things that if we've been saved and in church for many years, we've seen many times before. So these things that we're looking at are nothing new to us, but they are truth. And Lord, your word is truth, and your truth gives us light. So, Father, we need some light in this dark world in which we live. And, Father, I pray that you would impart truth and light to us tonight as we celebrate the glory of Christmas. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning or this evening. Is your excitement found in the Christ of Christmas? Is your joy, is the joy of the season found in the Christ of Christmas? Now, there's no doubt a lot of excitement concerning Christmas, especially if they're a small child. But many times it can be wrapped up in everything but Christ. So the question is your excitement found in the Christ of Christmas? As we learned this morning, the message of Jesus' birth and the entrance of the Savior into the world is something to be excited about. Amen? Isaac Watts was correct when he wrote the words, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." Well, here in Luke chapter number 1, we find a very interesting story involving Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And here we see two women, both of whom are still pregnant with their sons. I like what one writer said. He said, together, their miracle children would change the world. And that is so true. Because when John the Baptist began his earthly ministry, he changed the known world at the time. And then we know when Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, the world was changed and it never has been the same. And so certainly together their miracle children, both of these had miraculous births. Their children would change the world. Well, in this brief story that is only recorded by Luke, Luke points us to who it is who should be excited about Christmas. And we're going to see the reason that we should be excited around Christmas. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture very quickly tonight. And I want us to consider the people who can truly celebrate the coming of Christmas. First of all, notice, if you're going to celebrate the glory of Christmas, then you need to, first of all, devote yourselves to the glory of God. If you want to celebrate the glory of Christmas, if you want to have a joyous Christmas, you need to devote yourself to the glory of God. Along with the news that she would give birth to Jesus. The Virgin Mary was also told in verse 36, behold, my cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And here we learn, the Scripture tells us in this verse, that Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. But they were destined to be far more intertwined than just cousins. Elizabeth's son, John, would become the greatest of the prophets, pointing men to God's only begotten Son. John would become that voice crying in the wilderness, who would herald the greatest prophecy that had ever come to pass. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before John was born, while Elizabeth was just 6 months along with John, it was John who first shows extreme excitement about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 41 where it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Isn't that amazing? Here, Elizabeth explained what happened in verse number 41. As she said, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Y'all listen, what Luke is wanting to show us here is that before Elizabeth herself could return the greeting, the child in her womb leaped for joy. In other words, John responded before Elizabeth could ever respond. And it's very interesting here that the wording here in our text indicates that this was more than just a prenatal kick or prenatal turn. This was a leap. This was a jump. The word translated leap here is used to describe the leaping as of a deer, or as a baby lamb that's frolicking in the pasture. Here John leapt. John leaped because he was overcome with the emotion of joy. But think about this. This unborn baby, who had not yet even seen the light in the world, experienced overwhelming joy when he heard the news concerning the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was still 3 months away from his birth, and while he was still in his mother's womb, John was an emotional being. And as Scripture tells us here, that he even had the capacity to be filled with the Spirit. He was so overcome with joy that he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Oh, listen, John's greatest joy, even before he was born, was the fact that Jesus, the Lamb of God, had come into the world. Even as an unborn baby, John reveals the presence of Jesus is the highest joy for those who love him and serve him. You know, sadly, there are many people who struggle with grief and sadness around the holidays because of who is not here and the loved ones that are gone. And maybe somebody even here tonight, this may be your first Christmas that's coming up that you'll be celebrating without your loved one. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's like. But I do want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. I don't understand the hurt. But I want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. But here, so many people are hurting because of who is not here. But the real joy of Christmas is who is here. John reminds us that there is happiness and joy because of the presence of Jesus. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. He is here. He has come. So even from his birth, John understood that nothing and no one was more important than Jesus. He was committed to the glory of Jesus, even above his own life. Now for us, when Christmas becomes filled with worries about what we want or what we have to get, when Christmas becomes so worrisome about where we have to go and who we have to see, it's so easy to lose sight of who and what the season is really all about. It happens every year. We have to slow down. And we have to remember. But yet if we're like John, our heart is for Jesus to be preeminent. To be preeminent, to have the first place. And if you're like John, if you want Jesus to be preeminent in your life, then you will be filled, your days will be filled with excitement and joy that the hustle and bustle of Christmas cannot steal. And so we see here, if you want to have a glorious celebratory Christmas, then you need to be devoted to the glory of Jesus. Be devoted to the glory of Jesus. But notice also, if Christmas is going to be a celebration for you, you need to notice, secondly, be mindful of the grace of God. Be mindful of the grace of God. We spoke about this morning just a little bit. But once John leaped in her womb, Elizabeth then, his mom, joined in the joy of her unborn son. Verse 42 says, "And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.'" She added in verse 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Oh, listen, when they met, Elizabeth gave a word of blessing to her young cousin. But the blessing was not based so much on Mary, but upon Mary's child, whom Elizabeth described as my Lord. She said there in verse 43, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So Elizabeth realized the grace of God, not only to Mary, but to herself, that she was awakened to the truth of who Jesus is. And so it is when we see the amazing grace of God revealed in the person of Jesus, we too have something to get excited about. We have something to be joyous about. Even in the world that is filled with darkness and evil, we have something to be thankful about. Be mindful of the grace of God. He came. And when we're mindful of the grace of God, we're always going to be helped by remembering that it was only by the Holy Spirit who gives us the gift of understanding. When we consider Elizabeth's excitement in this text, it has to do with grace that was revealed by the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 41. It says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Listen, the same Holy Spirit that had filled the unborn John now has filled his mother. The Spirit's movement in her heart was even more powerful than the movement of the baby in her womb. It was under the power of the Holy Spirit that Elizabeth spoke these prophetic words regarding Mary and her son. The Holy Spirit opened Elizabeth's eyes to see the wonder of what was going on and the grace of the one who was even then living in her cousin's womb. Oh, listen, there is a reminder here that when we live under the control and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, we are more aware of the grace of God that is found in Christ Jesus. When He fills us, we see Jesus. And like Elizabeth, we are moved to worship Him. We're moved to thank Him for His grace toward us. But oh, if your life is only filled with the rush and ruckus of the holidays, it is likely that you will never see the true wonder of Christmas. Yet if the Holy Ghost has control over you, if you are filled with the Spirit, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be under the Spirit's control. Every single one of us need to be filled with the Spirit. Every single one of us need to be controlled over or by the Holy Spirit. We're either going to be controlled by one or the other, our flesh or the Spirit of God. If you're controlled by your flesh, you're going to say something or do something that's going to cause you to sin. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Well, in Elizabeth's excitement, we see not only grace revealed by the Spirit, but we also see grace resulting in a humbling spirit. Grace resulting in a humble spirit. Look again at verse 43. She said, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth said, Who am I that I should get this visit?" Oh, listen, she was humbled by the fact that she was allowed to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was humbled by the fact that she was made aware of who He is. Now think about this. Do you realize how easy it could have been for Elizabeth to be so caught up in her own privileges and her own blessings that she might have overlooked all the blessings of Mary? Absolutely. Could have been very easy. But now Elizabeth had so much to rejoice about concerning her own blessings, yet she was still moved and humbled by the greater blessing that came with the presence of her Lord. Oh, listen, no matter what we have or not have this Christmas, no matter the number of our gifts or the lack thereof, every one of us has a reason to bow humbly and thankfully before God because of His gift to us in Christ Jesus. Who are we that God should send His only Son to die? Who are we? Who are we to receive the blessing of His life in exchange for the sinfulness of ours? It is humbling grace. When our minds conceive the grace of God, it humbles our spirit. Humbles us. Oh, listen, when we look at the attitude and sentiments of Elizabeth, we are challenged by her enthusiasm. We're challenged by her joy. Like Elizabeth, we should be overwhelmed and excited by the truth of the grace of Jesus toward us. Notice, thirdly, if we're going to glory and celebrate Christmas as we should, we need to believe the gospel of Jesus. We need to believe the gospel of Jesus. Not only devote ourselves to the glory of Jesus and be mindful of the grace of Jesus, but we need to believe the gospel of Jesus. You know, the reason that you're here today is because you believe the gospel of Jesus. Not just one time, but you're still believing. It's an ongoing belief that never stops until we reach the gates of glory. Notice what else Elizabeth said in her joy and excitement. In verse 45, she said, "And blessed is she that believed." You see that? "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things." There shall be a completion of those things which were told from the Lord. Here Elizabeth gave Mary assurance about the message from heaven that she had heard and the message that she had believed. Notice the faith of Mary and what it says to us about our own faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For one thing, we see in Mary's belief, faith in the person of Jesus. Listen, if you're going to have faith, there has to be an object of your faith. And the object of our faith isn't a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Elizabeth spoke of the things that Mary had been told from the Lord. Those things are found earlier in this same chapter. If you look back at beginning in verse 30, the angel said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Here, obviously, Mary was a young virgin girl. Yet heaven informed her that she was going to be pregnant and that her son would not just be any son, but she would give birth to the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. His name would be Jesus, a name that Mary would have recognized to mean Jehovah saves. Now, at this point, Mary most likely didn't understand everything about the future of her son, including his sacrificial death. Yet she believed what the angel said about the nature of her future child. And Elizabeth is saying to her, "You are blessed because what you have believed will certainly become true and will be completed by the Lord." Oh, listen, in a similar way, the gospel tells us that in the person of Jesus, we find not just another man, we find the Son of God. In Him and in His death on the cross, we find salvation of God. We found the salvation of God for our sinful souls. Like Mary, when we believe upon Him, we find the Lord does exactly what He has said. His Word proves true, and we're saved by the power of the gospel. If you are going to have a glorious Christmas, if you're going to celebrate Christmas with joy, you need to believe the gospel. And the object of your faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice, she not only had faith in the person of Jesus, but she had faith in the promise of Jesus. Again, Elizabeth blessed Mary for believing the things that the Lord had told her. Those things not only included truths about the nature of her son, but also some truths regarding about the future of her son. Notice that in verse 32 and 33. The angel said to Mary in verse 32, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Oh, listen, the blessings of Mary's faith came because she believed in the promise of the Lord for her son, even those that would come long after his birth. And like Mary, the real excitement of Christmas for those of us who believe is not just in the birth of Jesus. It is not just in the manger. It's not just in the magi. It's not just in the angels and the stars that stir our hearts. No, listen, our faith looks beyond the stable and looks to a cross on a hill called Calvary. But yet it looks beyond Calvary. It looks beyond the cross to an empty tomb. But it goes farther than that. Our faith goes beyond that empty tomb to the kingdom that shall have no end. Oh, when we look by faith at His first coming, we are certainly stirred about His second coming. We are excited about Christmas because we believe the promise of the gospel that the Lord who came the first time as a baby is coming a second time as King. You know, Handel's musical oratorio called The Messiah was composed in 1741, but it is still regularly performed to this day, even to this day during the holiday season. Throughout the composition begins with the birth of Jesus, but it is best known for the Hallelujah chorus, which comes much later in the piece. But you know, we who truly celebrate Christmas are thankful for the birth of Jesus, but it is His coming Hallelujah chorus that we are very much excited about. Like Mary, we believe the promise of the gospel by faith, and we look to the day by faith when He shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. We have faith in the person of Jesus, but we also have faith in the promise of Jesus. All this, no doubt there are some in this world, maybe some even here tonight, who cannot wait until Christmas is over. They'll probably eat too much, spend too much, travel too much, and many are just going to be, we could say, holidayed out. But it should not be that way for those of us who really understand the significance of Christmas. More than a kid gazing at their presents under a tree, the coming of Christmas ought to excite us still. We who love the glory of Jesus, we who have experienced the grace of Jesus and live faithfully in the gospel of Jesus have so much reason to celebrate Christmas, just as much as Mary and Elizabeth did before that first one ever came. So let us not lose sight this evening of the wonder of Jesus, especially as we pause and remember His coming into the world to save us from our sins. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for yet another reminder of Scripture, of who You are. Another reminder of Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. And Father, I pray as we consider these things that we've looked at, I pray that we would be as Mary, that we would ponder them in our hearts. We think about them. Think about the words. And think about the implications that it has upon us. And then also think about the application of how we can apply this truth to our life that would change us. And then in turn, change others. Father, I pray that You bless this new week that You have given us. I pray that we would go forth and minister. We would go forth and spread the good news that Your Son Jesus has come and that He is receiving many who will come to Him by faith. Father, we ask You, Lord, to go with us as we depart and go our separate ways. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You are all dismissed, and may the Lord bless you this week.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and